This is your friend John Walden. We're continuing our studies in Ephesians, the fifth chapter now. Remember that the divisions of the book of Ephesians are very simple. The first three chapters tell us what God has done for us, and the last three chapters tell us what God would like to have us do for Him, of course, with the strength which He gives. This chapter begins, "Be ye therefore followers, or imitators, of God, as dear children." The word "therefore" goes back to the preceding verses at the close of chapter 4, where he tells us, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So when he tells us that he wants us to be followers, or literally imitators of God, as dear children, he's simply saying again that he would like us to do for one another as God has done for us. And he says in verse 2, to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So we are able to do these things as we are drawn close to the Lord Jesus and see what he is like. And of course, the Holy Spirit indwelling us as believers enables us to do this. Now, only children of God can do this. If you're not a child of God, you can't imitate your Heavenly Father because He isn't your Heavenly Father. Furthermore, you couldn't walk in love because the love of God has not been poured into your hearts as it has into the hearts of believers, according to Romans chapter 5. Whenever you believe the love of God and receive Christ as your Savior, so that you can say, as in verse 2, Christ hath loved us and given Himself for us, then, and not until then, will you be able to walk in love. Notice that he has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ in his love gave himself first of all to his Father. The suffering and death of the Lord Jesus was to bring honor to the Heavenly Father, and then to bring blessing to us. You see, there had never been a human being, never had been a person on this earth who had honored God. All had dishonored him by sin. And the Lord Jesus came and took true humanity, became a man, never ceased to be God, of course, but he became a man, and his whole lifetime was one of bringing honor to God. And then he gave to God that perfect life as a sacrifice. No wonder it's called the sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savor. Now, in contrast to his perfect life, we have the foul-smelling sins named in the verses following. Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither foolish filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. He begins by talking about evil speech, and then this soon leads to evil deeds. And this is especially true in the matter of sexual uncleanness mentioned here. Young people listening to me just now, steer clear of a person who wants to talk about things that you know should not be talked about. Steer clear of a person who wants to bring up the subject of sex. Undoubtedly, this person is an evil-minded person who would like to steer you into wrong ways. Now, God has given us some practical things here. We have to face this. We have a nature within us that might get away from the Lord. And since God has warned us against these things, let's pay heed to it. If you're not saved, of course, you don't have the Lord to help you at all, and I wonder that you've been able to keep as clean as you have. You certainly need a Savior, not only to forgive you, but to give you strength to live for Him. Now, He tells us plainly that those who live in this way have no part, no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This is foreign to God's way of doing. Then he warns us in verse 6 not to let anyone deceive us with vain words. The empty way of the world would lead you astray. There's a great danger of false teachers. Almost all the New Testament epistles warn us against people who would use empty, vain, proud words. If the teaching that you're listening to is not leading you to more Christ-likeness, you can be sure it's leading you away from it. Now, because of these evil things that we have just read about, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, verse 6 says. Now, we saw back in chapter 2 and verse 2 that all people, in their unsaved state, are called the children of disobedience. That means simply that as children of Adam, we are disobedient to God. Adam disobeyed God, and all of his progeny, all of his descendants, have been disobedient to God. But he says, be ye not therefore partakers with them. We're to have no part in this kind of thing. We don't belong in this. This is separation. And he goes on in verse 8 to show us why there must be separation. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. It's an impossibility to have light and darkness in the same room. You see, there has to be some kind of a wall or partition or something to shield the light in order to produce darkness. And you, as a child of God, are called light in the Lord. Walk, therefore, he says, as children of light. There are two things about God's character brought out in John's first epistle, that God is light, that means that he is holy, righteous, and that God is love. We've already seen in verse 2 that we ought to be loving because we belong to Christ. Now we see that we ought to be holy. We ought to live righteous lives. Notice that. Verse 2, walk in love. Verse 8, walk as children of light. So God is light and God is love, and you and I as Christians ought to be like our Heavenly Father. Verse 9 is parenthetical, and it simply explains how this can be done. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You can never produce these things yourself. An unsaved person can never be what he ought to be. And even we as Christians can't do it except as the Spirit of God enables us. In verse 10, he says that we are to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, of course, we know this, first of all, through the Word of God. The Word of God may not always give you a precept, a definite command, but it will always give you a principle on which to act. And if you're subject to the Word of God and you're reading the Word of God, meditating on it, you can be sure that God will lead you in paths of righteousness. Again, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Notice this contrast all the way through between light and dark. Fellowship means to be partner with, to have a place with them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What do the works of darkness ever produce that's of any good to God? They only bring dishonor upon the name of God. People who spend their lives in sin have got nothing to show for it at the close of their lives but regrets. Rather, he says, we are to reprove these things. Now, you can reprove by your actions. When your life is what it ought to be, this will reprove unsaved people. They may hate you simply because they see that you're not doing the things that they do. Then I think we ought to reprove them by our words, too. But you have to be judicious about this. Be careful that you don't cut off people's ears when you're trying to help them to see that their way of doing is wrong. Have no part with them. We need to be careful that we have no part with them in condoning their sin or smiling at it. Don't laugh at the dirty stories and laugh at the ways that people have. Don't accept any of the benefits of an evil life. Have nothing to do with these unfruitful works of darkness. In verse 12, he says, it is even a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Sin is absolutely shameful. But you know, some people have gotten past shame. Some people have gotten where they don't blush anymore. You avoid anything that will dull your sensibility to sin. Avoid talking about sin. Stay away from entertainments that flaunt sin and make sin out to be something attractive or something funny. Stay away from these things which will dull your conscience. In contrast to this, notice that he says what God is like. Verse 13, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So God reproves these evil things, and his word reproves them. This is in contrast to the shameful way in which they live. Now, Christians should be glad to come out into the light. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Notice that these wicked places that people spend their time usually are darkened. A Christian should be glad to be in the light. And a Christian is awake, called to awaken in verse 14. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from among the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. A sleeping person is unaware of his privileges, he's unaware of his responsibilities. And many a sleeping Christian can hardly be told from a dead sinner. Now then, we're called upon to walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means looking in every direction so that we're not tripped up by seeing. Not like fools, but like wise people, buying up the time, redeeming the time, verse 16 says. An unsaved person certainly ought to take this as a warning. You don't know how much time you have. Life may be much shorter than you think. The coming of the Lord may be at the very doors, and some of us believe that it is. And you and I as believers certainly ought to redeem the time because the days are evil. The Lord's coming is very near at hand. Unsaved people redeem the time by trusting Christ. Christians, redeem the time. Buy it up. Make use of it. Don't kill time. Don't waste time. Buy it up by following Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you bless thy word to all who have heard it. Again, we pray for the salvation of the lost and for blessing upon thy dear children, that we may be imitators of God as dear children, walking in love and walking in light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.